session number 10936, reel 3.
Mr. Downing, reel 3.
I think that our role on D-Day was to lead the landing craft in. I think the motor torpedo boats and motor launches were there in the role of leading in these valuable troop-carrying craft to make sure that the road was clear of mines, the sea was clear of mines on the beaches before they actually got to the beaches, rather. They get in. That was our role, because as soon as we had taken in one landing craft, we would come out again, find another landing craft, and take that one in, always leading ahead a bit and then going back again. None of the landing craft that we took in suffered any mine damage in the landings. They all landed their troops quite successfully. Once again, down in my wireless cabin, I wasn't aware of a great deal of the activity that was going on up top. You know, it was a general air of tremendous excitement. I remember seeing the Mulberry Harbour. I remember being rather sad and worried for these chaps going ashore, not knowing what they were going to find on the beaches, fighting their way up the beaches there. But from the point of view of action, the MLs were just in the role of pathfinders more than anything else, and we didn't engage in any shooting at all on D-Day, not from the motor launch.
But could you hear the incoming fire from the shore guns?
It's gone from memory, if it was, sir. Yeah.
Did the ML 202 undertake any other duties in relation to Normandy after D-Day?
No, I got off there. You do get off these coastal forces boats quite quickly, actually. I stayed on the 380 a long time, but 202 I was off fairly smartly. The other exciting thing that I did, and I can't remember the number of the boat I was on, and my records don't seem to show it, but I was in the... what is the word I want for Guernsey? The
Channel Islands?
Yes, the Channel Islands, Guernsey, but we were there. We were the first boat to go in when it was liberated. That's the word I was looking for. The liberation of Guernsey. I was on a motor launch at that one, and for the first time in my war, I found myself wearing a lanyard and revolver, and the captain led us ashore where the Germans were waiting on the quayside at Peterport, all with their hands in the air, ready to surrender. I'm quite certain that we were the people, the first people ashore there, because I do remember the Germans there, and I'm quite certain if anyone else had been there beforehand, all this would have gone before. So we were the first one in. At the back of us, there was a naval ship called the Bulldog. And it was on there that I believe that the surrender was actually carried out on the Bulldog. But we went ashore there, and I expect it's a well-known fact that the Germans were starving, and most of the people on Guernsey were in a bad way. The food had run out long ago there. They were eating mosses and lichens, and things were very, very bad there. And we remember giving away a lot of our ship's stores to local people there. And then I was there for quite a time, running to and fro from Weymouth to Peterport, bringing in all sorts of stores and mail. And they were very, very pleased to see us, the Guernsey people.
In what way did they demonstrate their pleasure?
They were trying to give us things, which was rather touching, really. And in fact, once I was there for several months, going to and fro Weymouth there, they started their fishing going again, and they started giving us fresh fish, which was something we hadn't had for a long time. But there was a general air of delight and pleasure at seeing us there. We really were most welcome there on Guernsey. Not that the Germans had been badly behaved. This was the extraordinary thing. They told us that the Germans on Guernsey had been tremendously well behaved. There was no bad behaviour from them at all. Terribly well disciplined on the island. So
you didn't see anybody attempting to take revenge against the Germans?
No.
Did the Germans seem to be glad to be captured or sullen?
They were glad. I got the impression they were glad it was over. They were glad to give in. They were very, very short of food, and I got the impression that they were very, very glad to get it over with. Yes, they were glad, but they were a very unhappy sight. They were a very unhappy sight, I remember them.
Did you see any reprisals taken by Guernsey people against those whom they considered to be collaborators?
No, not in my time at all. No.
How much different is an ML from an MTB?
Well, an ML, there's room on an ML to sleep. On an MTB, you're usually shore-based. For instance, on MTB 380, we were working from Lowestoft, and we had each... It's quite interesting, because I've been back, and the road is still there. It's Beach Road, Lowestoft. Beach Road, Lowestoft had barbed wire at each end, and each house was given to the crew of a motor torpedo boat, and that was where you slept if you weren't at sea. And there were loudspeakers in the street, and loudspeakers at the Seaman's Mission, where you could go to if you weren't going out immediately. On some nights, for instance, if it was quite rough out, if the sea was rough, the boats would be put at half hour's notice, and you could go to the Seaman's Mission, or you could stay in. Now, if there was a sudden need to put to sea, they would put the message out on the tannoy or down to the Seaman's Mission, and immediately you go down to the docks and man the boats and go out. Now, on a motor launch, of course, you can sleep. There's room to sleep on them. Not comfortably. They're not big boats, but there's room to sleep on an ML. And mostly, if you're on an ML, that's where you live as well. But it'd be very uncomfortable trying to live on an MTB.